Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Digestive Thanksgiving Sunday. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Excellent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent where we are remembering and celebrating that Jesus loved us enough to come and be here to save us, to walk with us. And we're also anticipating that he is good for his promises, and he says he will be back. You know, when he was born, that kind of caught the people by surprise, even though it had been prophesied. We're going to talk about that more today. But let's not be surprised when he shows up. There's a, I forget the name of this song. There is a song where it talks about these children that their parents have told them that Jesus is coming again, and it's called Fingertips and Noses. Anybody ever seen that song, heard that song? And it's talking about the children, they've been told that Jesus is coming again, and they press their fingertips and noses to the windows, and they're looking. Let us have that kind of heart as we are in preparation in this season. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us, and you loved us best, and you loved us first. We thank you that you proved your love for us by Jesus. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up today in this place. May you stir our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit here with us. Surprise us, O God, with your presence. May our worship be pleasing to your ears. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
I invite you to stand and sing Joy to the World. Fill your heart with the joy of the Lord this morning.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, I'm going to invite you to be seated.
Welcome to the first Sunday in Advent. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
This morning we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. This candle symbolizes the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, God is with us. Therefore, we have hope. Amen.
Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Amen. Any Thanksgiving football watchers out there? So I love family and I love food, but I also love football on Thanksgiving. But I got to tell y'all, it was a rough football Thanksgiving for me, okay? We're not even going to talk about the refs in the Cowboy game. I had to pray for my enemies, spend a lot of time healing from that, okay? And then last night, A&M lost with 20 seconds left in the game. Just kind of broke my heart. Do I have a point with this? Yeah, talk about football. No, I'm just kidding. So when you're in a football game, right, how many of y'all just, like, really get into it, okay? It doesn't have to be the Cowboys. It doesn't have to be A&M. Maybe it's the Wiley Bulldogs. You know, have you ever really been into a football game and your team's been behind and you don't think there's any way that they can come back and win the game, right? Anybody been there? Okay. And you feel that feeling like there's no way we're going to come back and win. And then all of a sudden, the team, they start to come back. They catch up little by little. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, they score the winning touchdown, right? Amen. Y'all been there? That's a great feeling, isn't it? I think Advent can be a little bit like that, that the world had that deep feeling like there's no way, there's no hope. And just like you're in that football game, right? You think, oh man, my team, they're not gonna win. And you have that hopelessness. But joy to the world, Jesus Christ has come. Yeah. So this morning as we worship, we get to worship as people who have been saved from sin and death. And so I pray as we sing about what Jesus Christ has done for us, that we would know that he has made us victorious. So let's stand and sing as victorious, loved, and saved, redeemed people of God.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song. Thank you.
invite you to be seated. And children, you are dismissed this morning.
Good morning, church. So, as we get started this morning, I'd ask that you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So, as I mentioned in the early service this morning, Thanksgiving is always one of my favorite times of year, but it's twofold because this past week, obviously, we celebrate with family and friends, and then we also do one of my favorite things that this church does, which has been going long before I started, which is Turkey Tuesday. And so, Lee, would you throw that picture up? So this was our crew that came to distribute turkeys. Each year, we give out approximately 300 to 350. This year, we bought 350 turkeys. And this crew of, I think I counted roughly 80 people, went and we distributed turkeys to the Carver neighborhood, which is North 8th and Carver. It's over by ACU in a poorer part. The way that I always describe it, y'all know the big, big cemetery? It's right next to it. Like the big cemetery on North 8th or North 10th, whatever it is, that's how I always describe it. But this is one of my favorite things that we do. And there's good reason for that, because we have a great opportunity and a great illustration of the church actually hitting the ground running and serving the community around us. And so this is one of my favorite things that we do. And it goes hand in hand with the scripture that I pulled for today, which is Psalm 100. It says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations." Well, we are called to serve the Lord, and we are called to shout triumphantly. And this is one of the best illustrations of that I see our church do on an annual basis. And so we distribute about 150 turkeys to that Carver neighborhood, and then we give turkeys to two different churches, we give turkeys to food banks in town, and we do a lot for the community just with this one action. And show of hands, I didn't do this in the first service, who came to Turkey Tuesday? Okay, there's a few of us in here. Okay, so if you've never been before, it's the fastest 30 minutes of your life, because there are literally that many people that about 20 people take a street, and it does not take more than 30 minutes. But in that 30 minutes, we impact a ton of different people. And so we just finished Operation Christmas Child. We just finished Turkey Tuesday. And my challenge for y'all is this. It doesn't say the week of Thanksgiving, serve the Lord, be joyful, and proclaim the Lord triumphantly. It says, do it always. And so as we move into this Christmas season, I would challenge you as a family to continue that effort. Continue that effort of you as a family unit going and serving the community and your neighbors around you, because Jesus and God call us to do this forever. It's not just a once a month, once a week, once a year thing. So how can you serve the community around you as we move into this continued season of thankfulness in a very different way? How can you influence your neighbors and the community that you are a part of when you leave this building? Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the opportunity once again to be here. We thank you for the opportunity once again to live freely because of your Son and the sacrifice that he made for us. God, but that isn't supposed to be hid. That isn't supposed to be diminished by the world around us, God. Instead, you say that let your light shine so brightly through us that even the darkest room is illuminated. And God, we live in a world today where there seems to be, and people tell us that there's so much darkness, but God, I pray that in this time that we strive even more to take the lampshade off of your light and let it glow into the deepest, darkest corners of this world. Allow us to be the light that continues to shine for you, regardless of the season. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to go into our communities, to go into our city of Abilene and serve with such a simple act of giving someone a frozen turkey. But God, I pray that the conversations that happen after that are multiplied, and God, I pray that they reap harvest. I pray that they reap new souls for the kingdom and people that come to know you just out of a simple act of getting a turkey. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for this season where we remember your birth. And we thank you for all the things that you've instructed us to learn by your word and through the instruction of the disciples, including the prayer that we recite. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we move into this next time of worship, the offering plates are out on the kneeling rail. You can come up during this song, or as you can see on the screen, you can give on our app, or you can text to that number and give electronically.
So here I am to
cost to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, you're all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Well, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Well, welcome again. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. We're glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guests. It's got the blue stripe. We'd love for you to fill that out, and I would love to meet you. If you are our guest, I'll be at the end of the foyer at the end of the service, and would like to get to know you. You certainly do not have to do that, but also have a free gift for our guests, so would love to meet you. So I want to kind of explain a couple of things before we get started here with the sermon. So we are working on, I'm showing my geeky side, my Star Trek side. When the warp engines went out, what was it? Come on, Arliss. You're a geek too, I know. The impact thrusters, is that what you said? Impulse thrusters, yes. All of y'all that have no idea what I'm talking about, consider yourself lucky. Anyway, so Billy has been diagnosed with COVID. Carlene's not here this morning. She's showing no signs at all, but she, just to be safe, she's not here this morning. Linda Higginbotham, who's one of our assistant children's ministers, she has COVID, as her husband Scott does. Dean and Joan Higginbotham, Scott's mom and dad, they have COVID. Teresa, our other children's assistant, she's out of town this week. And so I knew all that was happening, and we kind of thought we had our ducks in a row for this morning. And thank Jamie, if you see Jamie Adams, thank her, because she's taking care of our children in there. I told Jamie, I said, if you go down, we're just going to lock the door. We're just going to lock the door. And then at 7:30 this morning, I was here doing my stuff, doing some of Billy's stuff and all. I got a text from Trevor, and he was out in the field on call at 7:30 and said, I can't be there. So, Cody, where you at, Cody? Cody, whatever you're making, let's double it. Zero times two, buddy, zero times two. So Cody shows up. He's just going to play on the music team, and we're like, hey, can you lead? And that was at 7:45 with worship starting in 45 minutes. So anyway, it's been a pretty exciting morning. Man, but you know what? The enemy doesn't want us to worship, but we're going to press through. We're going to press on. All right, turn with me if you would then. Let's do that. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. So y'all be praying about, that's roughly half our staff is out sick. So we want to be praying for them. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we read this with our Advent candle this morning. Let's read it again. I want you to think about, we hear this verse during Christmas time so often. Maybe it just kind of flies through without us really grabbing hold of it. So literally ask the Lord to just kind of open this passage up to you today. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you now to speak, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to take you back in time. See if you can go with me here to the year 1217. Okay, are you there? 1217 is the year. What if someone and several someones heard from God and began to write down what they were hearing from God? And this is putting it all together. Here's what they wrote. He'll be part of a nation where the bald eagle flies high. From the northeast in Brookline, he will hail. Born in the fifth month of the year, in the heart of the war to end all wars. And in another war, he would prove brave and true. Sat upon a lofty chair intended for his brother. By three initials, he will be known. He aspired for others to go where no man had gone before, but his time in Camelot was a short-lived one. And speculations of his demise will persist for generations to come. Who do you think they might have been talking about in our perspective. Somebody say it loud, loud and proud. JFK, John F. Kennedy. So, but in 1217, 700 years before John F. Kennedy was born, probably wouldn't have made a lot of sense. But let's unpack that passage, if the text that we just read. He'll be part of a nation where the bald eagle flies high. Obviously, the bald eagle is the official emblem of the United States. Born in the Northeast in Brookline, Massachusetts. Born the fifth month of the year in the heart of the war to end all wars. He was born May the 29th, 1917. In another war, he would prove to be brave and true. We know that John F. Kennedy, the PT-109. How many of you have seen the movie? Come on, come on. That's a great movie. I love that movie. Hero of PT-109 in World War II, where they were rammed and split that PT boat in half. Set upon a lofty chair intended for his brother, we know that Joseph Jr., JFK's older brother, was actually kind of the family was nurturing him and kind of guiding him to become president. He was killed in action in World War II. By three initials, he will be known. We have come to know John F. Kennedy as JFK. Go ahead. So whoever guessed JFK, that's right. He inspired for others to go where no man had gone before. JFK declared in the early 60s that before the decade was over, the goal was to have a man walk on the moon, and we know that happened. But his time in Camelot was short-lived. He was assassinated November the 22nd, 1963, just 3 years into his presidency. And speculation of his demise will persist for generations to come. There's to this day, and probably till Jesus comes back, there's going to be conspiracy theories as to who shot JFK and who was involved and so on and so forth. Now, so as we think about that, I do that as an illustration. That's 9 fairly specific prophecies, if you will, that could have been written about JFK. In 1217, 700 years before he was born, that wouldn't have made a lot of sense because there was no JFK to point to and say, oh, they're talking about him. So if it was written 700 years before Kennedy was born and some 516 years before the United States was a nation and another 643 years before Orville Wright even contemplated the first manned-powered flight, what are the odds that this writing would have been divinely inspired by God? What are the odds? Anybody, some of you math nerds, it would have been astronomical. Just stating 9 things that kind of pointed to JFK 700 years before his birth, that would have been astronomical odds that could have happened. So how about this? 354 prophetic writings over 700 years plus ahead of time, describing in detail the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the promised King of Kings, Jesus the Christ. How about that? There's odds. They've actually calculated odds. I'll get into that more as we continue this series. But I'm starting an Advent series today called The Prophetic Jesus, the prophetic Jesus. And today's message is the promised one. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be just unpacking a few of these prophecies that I think holds very, very important significance to us. But I'm just a few of them. Today we're going to look at around 5 of these different prophecies that were given to us about the Lord. Again, some 700 years plus. So 5 out of 354. I just kind of want that to sink in. Remember the JFK thing? We all nailed who that was out of 9. But we're talking over 350 prophecies over 700 years before Christ. Okay. First of all, the prophets promised that Jesus would be born of a virgin and be God with us. Well, it's been a while since I took biology, but I'm pretty sure that's never happened before. I'm pretty sure that there's not too many virgins giving birth these days. But Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 7:14. He says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child." You think when Isaiah wrote that, you think some people were kind of going, what? The virgin will be with child? What are you talking about? "And will give birth to a son, and will be called Emmanuel." This passage today that we just read, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet 700 years before. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, and I was telling the early service that, you know, God is an all-powerful God, and there's nothing beyond his reach. But did you know that there was one thing that God had never been prior to Jesus? Flesh and blood. God had never dwelled upon the earth in the flesh. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is not, as some would say, I hear this especially from people in other religions and all, they'll say, well, Jesus was a great man, he was a great prophet, he was a great teacher, he was this or that. It's like, no, he was God made flesh. He was God made flesh. And if we don't believe that, then we don't believe this. We have to make up our mind. Do we believe this? What does it have to say? And that's significant because God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we'll talk more about why he did that. But it's significant that we know that, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll come back. Number two, the prophets promised that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem and kings would come to worship him. It was foretold the exact town that he would be born in. Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." What he's talking about is, number one, that this Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, but when he says his origins are from old, from ancient times, this means God the Trinity, the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is from the beginning of time, was there at creation. Jesus was there at creation, but he became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was to be born in Bethlehem. That was foretold. And these wise men, these kings, would come to worship him. Psalm 72, "The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts." So there's all of this prophetic foretelling this what's going to happen. The odds of that, every time one of those things goes up, is given, the odds begin to go up that one man could accomplish all of these different prophetic predictions. Matthew 2:1, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star and have come to worship him.'" These were not Jews. These wise men, these kings, were not, these Magi, they were not Jewish. They recognized that he was born King of the Jews in Jerusalem, and they came to worship him. Pretty incredible. Is anybody out there? Is this on? You know, we hear this stuff, and it's like, that's why I wanted to use the illustration with JFK. It's like, think about 700 years. That's a long time to write specific things about the Messiah that was to come. Okay? Thirdly, the prophets promised that Jesus would fulfill the covenant made to Abraham. We're beginning to get into very important territory here. Genesis 12. And this is the covenant God made with Abram. He had not changed his name to Abraham yet. And Abram was 75 years old. And this, I say 700 years that these things, these prophecies, most of them were written around 700 years before Christ. But this was 2,000 years before Christ. The Lord said, had said to Abram, Genesis 12, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Who's he pointing to? Ultimately, Jesus, the Messiah. We know that Abraham and Sarah was past childbearing years, and she had been barren, and there was no children, and they didn't know how this was going to happen. So we skip forward 24 years later. Abram is now 99. Sarah, I believe, is 90. Genesis 17. I will establish, God is confirming when the covenant he's already made. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Then God said, your wife Sarah, your 90-year-old wife Sarah, I added in the 90, will bear you a son. Hello. And you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So God makes this covenant with Abraham, and along comes Isaac. He is born to this 90-year-old matriarch. And God is saying, through this line, through Abraham, through you, and through Isaac, through this line is going to come, I'm going to fulfill this covenant. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. Now we're going to flip forward 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later. It's almost like God had a plan or something. Did anybody ever think about that? It's almost like this was intentional for some reason. Galatians 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. There it is. And heirs according to the promise. So, you know, sometimes we may think as Christians, it's like, well, I'm not Jewish, so how can I be part of God's chosen people, the Jewish people, and how can I be fall under this covenant? Through Christ. Through Christ we are grafted in as Christians, through Christ. Through faith in Christ, we are grafted in to this this covenant, we are now heirs according to the promise. I'll stop here for just a second and say this. It says it's through faith in Christ. It's not from obeying the law. It's not really being a really good old boy. It's not because we pass out turkeys every year. You know, those are all good things. It's through faith in Christ that we are grafted in. Through faith in Christ that we are heirs to this promise, to this covenant. And it also says, through faith in Christ, all of you who were baptized into Christ. So I want to stop there for a second and say, and this gets kind of theological, and I know some of you may have some different thoughts on this, but here's my thoughts on baptism. I don't believe that a person has to be baptized to go to heaven. And my primary example of that is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was not baptized. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But, and this is a very important but, God tells us through Christ that we are to be baptized. It's not like, oh, Jesus didn't say to the thief on the cross, oh, if we could just get down off these crosses and we could just baptize you, you'd be good. It's not that, but no. But he did say for us to be baptized, and here it is. We are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, and if you belong to Christ. And those seem to be things that steps that God is asking us to do. Not only asking, but telling us to do. So I would say this. If there's any of you that maybe you're a believer, maybe you've believed in Christ for a long time, but you've never been baptized, I encourage you to come seek me out. Let's talk about that because it's important. It's important. So we know that these are just, as I said, five of 354 prophecies that were made about the Messiah, and we'll be looking at more of those these next 3 weeks. But some of the question for me as I kind of exploring through this is, what does any of this mean? Why is it significant? Why does it matter? Well, first of all, it means that Jesus is the promised one. He's the Christ. He's the one that was foretold about. He's the one that God said he was sending. He's the one that would fulfill the covenant. Jesus is the promised one. He's the Christ. God said he would send him, and he sent him. Why did he send him? For you and me. So we're no longer bound to the law, our own goodness, our own righteousness. No, through faith in Christ, we have now been grafted in. We are now heirs to this promise. That God is our God and we are his people. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And because he is with us, we have hope. That word is important. I say this a lot at funerals. If you come, I feel like if people come to all my funerals, they're kind of like, oh, I heard this one before. But it's... The message is basically the same. We celebrate a life. I mean, we celebrate the life of the person that has passed away. But the hope is the same. If I do a funeral today or tomorrow or next week or next year, the hope is the same. Hope is Jesus. And it's different when you don't have hope. We live in a world, lots of people in this world have no hope. We have hope. God has called us to share that. So it's important. Jesus, God planned it. He orchestrated it. He had a plan for not just 2,000 years, but from all eternity. He had a plan that he was going to send Jesus, who was going to pay the debt that you and I owed whenever he was hanging on the cross. It was our nails that put him there. It was our stripes upon his back. And he had a plan. It was so planned out and orchestrated, and God carried it out in the person of Jesus Christ. And because of all of that, we have hope, church. And I don't know about you, but this day and age that we are in, when it just seems like, I don't know. I talk to many of you. I know you're kind of where I'm at on some of this, but sometimes I'm just like, man, what other crazy thing is going to happen? You know, what other crazy thing is our world going to embrace? And it's like, man, the only thing that sees me through is the hope I have in Christ, that he's in control and that he loves me. And that he has mapped out an eternity for me. And not just eternity someday, but right now. To help me get through today. How about you, church? I mean, do you have that hope? Are we just consumers of that hope? Or are we servants of the Most High? Are we to share it? And Brent talked about it in his prayer time today. It's like, man, what are we doing for Jesus? Is it just once a year we pass out turkeys? Is that it? Man, we have something that the world needs. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God made flesh. So I want to ask you to just bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled. why are you even mindful of us? Why take the time? Why bother with us? We fail all the time. I fail all the time. And the answer comes to my heart that because you just love us. You loved us enough to become flesh. You, God, you became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. You fulfilled what the prophets had foretold. And through faith in you, we are heirs to the promise. And we have hope. And we are blown away by that. And if we're not blown away with it, we should be. Show us how big you are, God. Show us how much you love us. And show us what you'd have us do with that. This is an everlasting covenant you've made with us. There's nothing that will stand in the way. There's no circumstance. Father, we just have to remain faithful to you. Just keep trusting in you. Have faith in you. And I like that imagery, Father, in your word, where to clothe ourselves with you. So, Father, just visually in each one of our hearts, each one of our minds, just take your holiness and just wrap it around us. It's like a warm blanket. Just wrap it around us. May we be clothed with Christ. Jesus, you are the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ. And there is nothing too difficult for you. May this season, may you replenish that in our hearts. May you make it more real. We love you, O God, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close with this last song, I just want to encourage you, if you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, or if perhaps you know him but you've never made that step of publicly professing that and being baptized, don't leave this place today without talking to me about that. Let's talk about it. If you'll rise as we close.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how precious there that grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine. My chains are gone, have been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace, unending, unending love. Amazing grace, unending love. Amazing grace.
Amen.
The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God, church, is with us.
Yes.
We have good news. We have hope. Go and tell someone. God bless you. With Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.